he's right here, so. Oh, he topped it. He cold topped it.
Okay. Ready to go. Yeah.
Eight iron.
Oh, he shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
Welcome to the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here by Kevin and Mark, as always. What's been happening?
Masters, that's what's been happening.
Oh.
What a week of golf.
What a week of golf.
Peaked a bit early, didn't we?
Early. Wow. I was going to say, apologies for the pod being a day late. We had a few technical difficulties, and by that, I mean my brain fell out my skull.
One too many on the Sunday.
Oh, mate. Got a bit excited, I think. Yeah. My Whoop band was telling me I had 1% recovery Monday morning. What's that about?
Need to send it in and say how close to death were you.
I know. And the day before, I'd done yoga, played golf, and I had 95% recovery flying for the Sunday.
Ready to go.
And then battered myself. It just shows you what alcohol actually does to your body, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was writ off on the Saturday. Me, I'd done Friday so much so that I thought it was Sunday. Done the Masters Sunday post.
I've seen that,
woke
man.
Up thinking, right, Masters Sunday. I feel a bit ropey, but I'll give it a go. And then,
oh, mate.
Absolutely.
I just seen loads of notification. I thought, what's he done here? And then I see loads of people saying, it's
Saturday, lads.
It's Saturday, lads.
Had an absolute nightmare, but even though we had nightmares this weekend, the golf was unbelievable, wasn't it?
Oh, no, it was great.
Yeah?
It was great.
How's your golf been?
It's been all right. I keep 16 holes. I'm at 16 holes again. Remember when I got to 16 holes last year? And I've had a triple the last two rounds.
On what hole?
One on the 7th, and I had one on the 5th.
Oh, so it's not the last two holes?
No,
you're just getting 16 good holes?
Yeah, 16 good holes
with
in
a couple
there.
Of blips.
Yeah, but indecision, you know, both times.
Yeah.
Like, three would rescue into the green and then try and hit the rescue and knob it, or three would drive off the tee and then hit three would knob it. Like, you just need to commit.
Yeah, you do. Whatever. Yeah.
But I've got a pro event tomorrow, playing with Big Hayden and Matt and the greenkeeper. It's at Thorne Bjorn in the Alliance.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. Don't quite know what to script about it, like, but it should be fun.
No, so what's that? Two amateurs and two pros?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely stuff. So what, your partner and Hayden?
I don't know, I think Matt asked me to play, so I don't know if I'm going to play with Matt or whatever, but...
Well, I'll put you on the spot. Who would you prefer to play with?
I don't know, well, I'll play with Hayden. I played with Hayden the other day, and he started birdie, par, birdie. I was thinking, oh, check that, and then he shanked one out of bounds on the fourth.
It happens.
How's your golf?
I played my first competition, didn't I, last Wednesday. Shot an 85. It was terrible, really. But I had three off the tees.
Oh, that's it.
So that was just them three poor tee shots have cost me what? The equivalent of six shots there. So potentially a 79. But what shocked me most, regardless of score, because I know score is going to be all over the place for the time being, was my handicap. Went up a full shot.
Fucking hell, did you?
4.6 to 5.6 I went.
Oh my God, how come? Just because of the new handicap system?
I think because, like I said last time, I haven't done a full 20 card yet, have I?
20 rounds.
So, 20 rounds, yeah. So, eight. I think I've done more than eight now, but I haven't got a full list to go from yet. So, I haven't got a true reflection. But I played another round later on in the week. One of the lads from the club, and he put a casual round in.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah.
And that's what Ronan was saying about the sandbagging. Like, we could put a round in now, sitting here.
You've got to tell them, though, haven't you? You've got to tell the club that you're doing it.
Why?
Just to let them know. Maybe it's different. Maybe it's different rules for each club. I'm not sure.
Well, as long as if you've booked a tee time, and then you go out and play, you can put it in. So it's.
So what's stopping you being, saying you're going to do it at the beginning, having a shocker, and then saying, oh, actually, I'm not going to do it.
Exactly.
There's nothing stopping that.
Nothing stopping that. It's so open for manipulation.
Surely the club should have the local rules. I'll just say, if you're going to hand the card, then you need to tell us beforehand, email a separate email address or something.
But like, come to be asked, innit?
I know. You might just turn up on the day and think, I fancy myself here on the road.
Oh, yeah. Get a couple under and think, this is going in, this one.
That's it, yeah.
Or it's more the other way of... If you play bad and then don't hand it in, that's the one.
Yeah.
Rather than you playing good. Playing good and handing it in is whatever, but playing bad and not handing it in, that's where the decision should be made, really, before you go out, do you know what I mean?
Jim at the shop reckons you should put every card in to give a true... Give it in order to give yourself a true reflection of your handicap. every round that you play, just put it in towards your scoring average.
Well, exactly, that's it.
And then go from there.
Mm. But yeah.
But we'll see, yeah. So I went up a full shot. Didn't actually play too bad. I made a two, so a bit of cash back, cha-ching.
Cha-ching.
But other than that, just been playing casual rounds and just ticking away. Still working on what Dave's taught me. See, the strike seems to be better, but it's a long, old, sloggy season, isn't it? So I've got an back as a Saturday member now, so I can play all the Saturday competitions. We've got a few board comps coming up. I've entered a couple of the competitions, so
buzzing.
Looking forward to the season ahead.
Buzzing. Yeah. Oh, well, I played the comp, didn't I, last Saturday? Walked up on the 11th, little tap-in putt. I was at like 6-7 over or something. So my head was a bit gone, and I just tapped it, missed it, and picked the ball up. I was like, fuck that.
So what did you end up? <NR, yeah.
laughs> But like, do you know when you just miss it, and I just grabbed it, and as I'd done it, I thought, oh, forgot it's medal.
Right, but I'm pretty sure, fact check this, by the way, fact check moment, I'm pretty sure that if you carry on that round, that just goes down as a net double bogey.
No.
Fact check.
I don't know. Let's check.
No, honestly, I think.
Do you think, yeah?
I remember that the episode that we done, it's going back a while now, though, we've done on it. I'm pretty sure I remember reading that if you do pick up the hole, although you're out the competition for handicap purposes, it goes down as like a Stableford would. So you just give yourself a scratch. It's a net double for handicap purposes.
Yeah.
You're out of the comp because you've NR'd in a medal, but you can still use it towards your handicap.
Ah, right, yeah. Well, loads of people keep asking me, because we do this podcast, like, oh, what's this new handicap system? Like, what's going on? What's going on? And I was like, well, what you should do is go back and listen to episode 13 of the podcast, where we explain it all, Loco goes through it all, and then what you'll do then is you'll have all the information and still not understand it like me. So I'd like to see the numbers on that episode to see if it's been driven up.
To see if anyone's gone to have a check. But yeah. No, I remember we done that, didn't we? And yeah, I'm not sure whether that's correct. We'll definitely fact check it, because it's an interesting one, isn't it?
It does make sense, though, because if in the old handicap system, if you make a 10, if your handicap, it goes to a double.
Yeah, net double, yeah. That's where we thought. I don't know whether I'm getting mixed up with the thought process of the old and the new, but I'm pretty sure you come out of the competition. Anyway, we'll fact check it rather than going on. Let's just fact check the life out of it.
Yeah.
So, NR'd, and then just...
jibbed it.
Yeah.
Then started doing spinnies on my club and trying to hit the
ball. Oh, was that round? Yeah. I've seen that.
I thought, do you know what else happened as well? We were having a shocker, and our Keaton's neck was done in. So then, going down 7, Keem's like, oh, I'm just going to walk around and put my clubs in the car. I was like, well, you might as well shoot him out, grab a few beers then. So then he shot off and then brought us a couple of beers. So we had a few beers and then we were spinning around and like, fucking, the golf got legged, mate.
But that's what makes you keep coming back, though, isn't it?
Oh, well, dude, I absolutely ripped it after the spun round.
I've seen
the
best that, yeah. The day. Maybe that should be your new pre-shot routine.
I know, isn't it?
Yeah.
The actual challenge is 10 spins on your golf club.
What did you do?
5, and honestly, I was nearly at the deck.
You took some time, didn't it?
Oh, mate, that's compose really yourself. Come on, come on.
No wonder you ripped it.
Yeah.
What other news is there then, golf-wise?
Well, what have we got? Rory going round to Tiger's house and talking and seeing the 15 majors in the cabinet.
Yeah, before the Masters, yeah.
Yeah, and saying, like, where's the rest of them? That's what made me think Rory was going to win that week.
Right.
And obviously didn't mean nothing, like, but...
I don't think he'd done too bad. He's obviously missed the cut on that, but he didn't have no shockers.
No.
He had one double, 8 bogeys and 4 birdies he had, yeah? So
yeah.
The 4 birdies is the issue, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you need to make a few more birdies, but I don't think he'd done a hell of a lot wrong. And considering he's got a new coach, then it's probably going to take time to bed in. He's not playing this week at the RBC, so...
Yeah.
But no, it's interesting you say that about him, because as you say... He's probably looking at that, thinking he's holding his PGA Tour wins close to him because he hasn't won that much. Whereas yeah. Tiger is thinking, forget them. My 15 majors is what it's all about.
That's
so maybe
that
change of mindset, yeah.
And then you say, how easy is it to win when you don't care about winning?
Yeah.
That's just the best thing ever, isn't it?
Brooks Koepka as well.
Yeah. He only practices for the majors, isn't
he? That's it, yeah. So he turns up to the tournaments like Waste Management and wins it.
When he sees that he's... When you see him on a normal tour event, that's when you see him play golf. He doesn't practice apart from when a major's coming up.
Yeah. Probably the wrong decision this week to play the Masters, wasn't it?
Mate, did you see him like getting out the...
hobbling around.
When he went into the ditch and his club was up against the wall, and he actually hit the wall with his club, which one, he's got a bad wrist for the start.
I know.
And then he had to get his caddy to pull him out the thing, and because he couldn't bend his leg.
Done himself no favours
and
there.
Why did he play?
Like we've just said there, he wants his majors, doesn't he? So if he's after the major championships, every chance he can get, even if he's, you know, Tiger's turned up and won big tournaments.
The one knee and that.
One knees and that. So, you know, it's just, he's no Tiger Woods, but when you've got that mindset let's go after the majors, I'm in two minds of it, because by playing, he's taken up a spot for somebody else, do you know what I mean?
But at the same time, he deserves the spot because he's...
Yeah, he's earned it.
He's earned it, hasn't he?
He's earned it, yeah, definitely. So, but in other news with the Tiger, obviously we do a Tiger update every week.
We do. Still haven't seen him.
Still no sign of him, no. Rory
would have took a little picture for the boys, didn't he?
Yeah, send it in. He's tweeting, though. Yeah. He obviously tweeted Hideki Matsuyama, didn't he, to say congratulations and stuff. But just in regards to his crash, the car was going 85 miles an hour when it crashed. He said that there was no sign of him hitting the brake, but he hit the accelerator hard. Some specialists come out and said that sometimes when you're in shock, you can forget and put your foot down thinking it's the brake, but it's not, it's the accelerator.
Oh, especially on them automatics as well, because there's only two pedals.
It's just two pedals, yeah, so bang, bang. But they reckon he's hit the tree at 75 miles an hour.
Well, he's doing well to be tweeting any, really.
He's like, doing well to still be here.
He's doing well, man.
Yeah, definitely. But they put the crash down to driving at a speed unsafe for road conditions. So,
well, fucking obviously, it was on a bigger hill bend, wasn't it? And it was 75 is pretty unsafe, isn't it? 75 is unsafe on the motorway.
More to come on this news, I imagine.
No, definitely, yeah.
We're finding out more and more each week. So,
well, it's like that they didn't conduct any of the tests and didn't do this. It's like not like a cover up, but it's being there's more to it, as you say.
Yeah,
so it's a bit dodgy, you know?
Yeah, exactly. We'll keep updating people anyway.
Well, when we get them on the podcast, we can ask them what happened.
We'll definitely do that. We'll definitely do that. Got a number of questions I want to ask him.
On another news, Wayne Player. Gary Player's son has been banned from Augusta.
What for?
For holding up some balls in the back.
Oh,
Elder, but he was getting his honorary.
I've seen it.
And then he had the golfies in his hand, and he was obviously promoting the brand, and they've banned him.
I'm not surprised.
Do you want one thing where that sits well with me? Because that story I told you about the fella phoning up Augusta and getting banned, and then he made Sage Valley Golf Club. It shows that they ban people for... hardly nothing, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so yeah, you stick to the rules or you're gone.
Yeah, so like, I feel like that's half a fact check on my story. That banning him for that, like, what does it like? I think it's a bit of a backlash because his dad.
There was an outcry on social media, weren't there? He was getting slandered on Twitter.
Yeah, but then I think it's a witch hunt because his dad stole the green jacket from 1961.
Yeah.
And he's come after them.
Won't retain that jacket, sign. Your son's a goner.
Kept forgetting. First little
he's
sign
not
of
coming
anything.
Back. But there was all sorts of video clips, and I think one person slowed it down and was talking as he was doing the video, and he was showing you, saying, look, now he's moving into camera, and
he moves in.
Positioning himself to show it. Great piece of marketing.
Well, he's not going to position himself not to show it, is he?
Yeah, if the whole idea was that, fair enough, he probably didn't want to get banned, but if the whole idea was that to market the brand, there's no better way than everybody just talking about it after he's done it.
Yeah, like I didn't know Job the balls were now I want some.
Job done.
It's worked on me. I am susceptible to things like that.
Get the order in. I wonder what they're like.
Great then. But onto the Masters anyway. Justin Rose, first day. What was going on there? 2 over through 7.
And then was it 9 under?
9 under through the next 11.
Didn't do too much after that though, did he?
No. But his shots gained, tee to green on the first day was 10.5.
Was it?
Yeah.
10.5?
Yeah. And he had a couple of bogeys. Or I think he had a double, didn't he? A couple of bogeys. Like, it was unbelievable.
Strokes gained. Has that ever happened before?
No. It's the best score through 11 holes since 2004.
Wow.
And did you notice he was using the M1 driver?
Yeah.
Mad that, isn't it?
Well, that's happened a few times this season. Bryson went back to his old driver at the Arnold Palmer and won.
Yeah, but M1, you're talking like 8 years ago or something.
If it works, it works.
No, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
We go back to the previous episodes about what happened to Chris Hansen. Changed all his tools and lost his European Tour card. It happens, you know. If it's not broke, don't fix it. Ricey, when he was talking, says Harald Varner's still on the old driver. He trusts it.
Yeah.
Justin Rose has gone back to the M1. Shoots his best ever score round Augusta.
I just don't like the way Dustin Johnson turned to the Sim 2, started chopping it. Like, he's not moved to it, and then I've just ordered it.
That is a problem. Yeah, no, the DJ situation as well. We'll come on to DJ then. Didn't expect the cut to be missed there.
No. Fresnel, world number one, turning up at Augusta, from the defending Grace. Champion.
Fall from Grace, bit too much, too soon, that.
No, he really has, hasn't he? He's fell.
He just, it was, I mean, just he because hasn't he
fell like Rory McIlroy, like style fall, but he's just gone off the boil.
He's still world number one, isn't he? And it's just, it was just because of how good he was last time round there to missing the cut. It's a bit extreme, isn't it?
When he won in Saudi straight after the Masters, we were talking about him fucking never getting beaten there. And yeah. Since that, he hasn't made the cut, I don't think.
Is that another player we've cursed there?
We've cursed, man. Hey, speaking of the opposite of curses, well, he saved his bogey boy's blessing for the first round of the Masters.
Big Hud. Hudson, yeah, Swafford, what a legend.
I was getting texts like, a friend of the podcast is leading the Masters and that.
What a hero. Know. We both picked him as well in our picks, so I was thinking pop four pick.
I was thinking wire to wire.
Obviously we won't talk about what happened from there.
Plus 11, day two, like.
Just shows how difficult that course is, do you know what I mean?
Mate, it's a joke, yeah.
Couple under front nine, and then all of a sudden he's, what, 13, 14 over for the rest of the tournament?
I know.
Yeah, and he's obviously still, must be playing all right, golf-wise.
That's it. He's playing this week as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he's there this week, yeah, at the RBC, yeah, so...
But another one, day one there, Tommy, four bogeys and a hole in one.
I know.
Maddest ever, that.
When he was four over through the first, what was it? You got a hole in one on 16, didn't you? Yeah. So 15 holes, I thought. He blew it again.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I think day three, because Rose got come back to five under, was it day two?
Yeah.
Rose come back to five under. I think Tommy got to two under. He was then three off the lead.
I know.
I was like, you go from 11 to three, and all of a sudden he's in contention, but just seemed to fade away to the, over the weekend, didn't he? And not contending. So
did you see his post about the hole in one, saying like, just when nothing's going your way and you think everything's against you, that one thing pops up and just keeps you coming back. It's just where we all hate the game, or love to hate the game, it or is. Something like that. Well, that's right though, isn't it? Like birdie in the 18th or something, isn't
it?
Like,
is, yeah. Hell. Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah.
Finally got his par 67.
Yeah.
We had another 9-shot rule there.
Did we?
Yeah, he shot 76 first round, 67 second round.
Well, there you go. It doesn't fail.
Again, another one I'm disappointed in, because he talks the talk, doesn't he? I know he wasn't as mouthy this time around, but...
Yeah, he just needs to rein it in, doesn't he?
Yeah. I mean, when you've seen him at the Arnold Palmer, unbelievable. Them drives, going for it. Said he was going to go for it, backed it up, turned round, won the tournament. He just can't seem to get... Augusta, can he?
You know, like, everyone tells you, after all the years you go in there, people say you cannot do that to this golf course, it'll eat you.
Yeah.
It will get you, and it did. Like, it swallowed his ball last year.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere,
like, it will get you, like.
They're not soft, are they? You know what they're doing around
no,
that
exactly,
place.
Yeah. You've got definitely. To plot your
and
way
especially
around.
In April, when they know exactly what the conditions are going to be. November was a bit of a surprise, probably, for them as well, not knowing what the
soft,
course.
But then if anything, that probably would have helped Bryson, because it's softer, he's coming in higher, longer. Like, it's,
yeah,
you know what I mean? When you're like, even some of the ones when he was hitting monsters, they're rolling out into the trees, like on 13, he went right through and stuff like that. It's not an advantage.
Well, on 18, he knocked it just under 400 yards, didn't he?
Do you know,
had a flick in on the Sunday, on the last day, his last drive of the tournament. So, like he's just said there about coming back, he's at that tee shot, he's like, right, I'll get you next year.
Yeah. it's just not the play, though, is it, around there? I don't think.
No, definitely not. But one thing I do want to talk about is rules in golf.
Right.
Around the Masters. We had a couple of instances there. Matthew Wolf disqualified. Yeah. He has a 3-putt on 17 to make a 5. But at the end of the round, he got a call to say that he'd given the incorrect score. And because the score was lower, he got disqualified.
But who's marking his card?
I'm not sure who it was, no.
So it's his fault then? It's his fault for signing for it, but it's his fault for marking it wrong, isn't it? So whoever's marked his card's done it wrong, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, but if you can go back and look on the cameras, like the stupid Abraham Anser one where he's tapped a grain of sand. Like, why can't you go back and just say, look, you made a 5 day, like, change it?
I think the main thing with the Wolf situation is if he'd have marked down a 7 on that hole or a 6 on that hole instead of a 5, he wouldn't have got disqualified.
Well, yeah, because you're not gaining any advantage by doing that.
But all they have to do is just tell him that he's got the wrong score and change it.
Well, exactly, yeah.
So He's not intentionally trying to cheat somebody else's mark on his card. Like,
but surely
just
he knows what score he's shooting, and you look and you think I was five over there, and you check back and you go through it. And so on his card, he must have a five. And
the difficulty is, though, it's his 35th hole, and he's plus 10 for the round, for the tournament.
Yeah, so
he's going home
he's
anyway.
Not, he's not asked. He's basically. Not one bit He's not even it. Looked, and he just threw it in.
He's probably, that's
he
what
I'm He does seem like that sort of cat, don't he, as well, where he just do something like that.
Yeah, and just get in his car and yeah. go. Yeah, but no, talking about the
Abraham.
Wow. Talking about the Abraham answer incident, what are you thinking? That's
I
shocking.
I think it's harsh.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I don't know, because a bunker's a hazard, isn't it?
Yeah, but then you can ground your club in a hazard now, so why can't you do it in the bunker? You can put your ball in the club in the water, where you didn't used to be able to. You can touch the reeds and that, like it's
yeah.
You can do that now. So why is the sand any different?
Well, there you go.
So I honestly burn the fucking rules of golf, you know. Start again.
Yeah, but it didn't make a difference, because watching the video, he's hit the ball way before the part where he's moved the piece of sand down, so he's not gaining an advantage. But you know when you're in a bunker what the rules are, and everybody knows you don't ground your club in a bunker. So if you're going to get it so close to the sands, then you're going to run that risk. I know you're saying it's harsh.
I reckon if you zoomed in on everyone's bunker shots over the week, all the time, every single one of them, someone else would have touched the thing like that, and he's getting scapegoated for it. Patrick Reed takes a bucket and spade in there.
Yeah, they just give up on him now, though, don't they?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. A couple more instances of the rules of golf where we're just thinking, you know, could these things be changed again?
Yeah, what, like, if you bend your club, Kim broke his putter and you can't use it because it's altered?
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I don't know. I don't know why he was using his three wood for a start. Your belly wedge it, don't you?
He didn't miss a shot with
four pars. Yeah, he did too well with it. Yeah, fair enough. You always just remember that when you do a situation like that, it was always the belly wedge, wasn't it?
Yeah,
the little thing with the wedge. But I don't know. I think,
like, fair enough, right? If you bend your 58 and then you use it all round and it's bent to like a 52 or something, and it's going miles when you haven't got a gap wedge or something like that.
Yeah,
you know, you take a wedge up and then you bend it and then you're gaining a clear advantage. But
are you though? Because your swing is set up for a straight shaft.
Yeah.
So yeah. if it's bent,
well, exactly,
the impact position is going to be off. So
otherwise, if you're taking the head off the driver and altering it around and putting it lowered and all that.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
That's fair enough. But
that's fair.
Why is he whacking his club anyway for a start? He's fucking 4 under.
I know he's not exactly playing bad.
He's not exactly missing the cut, is he?
Yeah. So what are you thinking, that they should be allowed to use it or get a new one, or?
I don't know. Well, yeah, because if you break it, like, by accident, you get it replaced.
I'm pretty
sure someone broke a shaft here and they've got him a new driver straight away, Bryson.
But I think that's if it's accidental.
That's what I'm saying.
This wasn't accidental.
So I fell over.
No, sorry, I get what you're saying. Yeah,
I don't know. I'm unsure. I'm up against it on that one, but I don't know. He made up for it with that handshake, didn't he?
One handshake with a fist to hand, fist to hand.
Moved.
Most awkward finishing. Was that on the same day, was it?
I think it was at the end with Schwartz.
He just wanted to get off, didn't he?
Get me out of here.
Get me out of here, yeah. But probably time to move on to the main event. Hideki Matsuyama and Will Zalatoris, two unbelievable golfers.
Unbelievable, though.
What about that rise to fame for Will Zalatoris, eh?
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
He said there 2 years ago, like, he was planning on his thing, yo, and then now he's getting annoyed for coming second in a major.
Yeah. Well, he's still not a tour member, though, is he?
Well, that's it. There's
been a bit of conversation about that, hasn't it? So he can't physically collect any Ryder Cup points at the moment.
Ah.
Because one of the things I was going to say after speaking about him was Ryder Cup contender.
Oh, but obviously, yeah. Obviously.
We obviously can't get that, yeah. But we have spoke about him in the past, because at the back end of the FedEx and the beginning of the new season, when he got his category, we were talking about the advantages he's got, because what did he done well to start his career, didn't he? Was he tied 6 at the US Open to start
with
at Wingfoot?
It's good that you're starting to talk about this, actually, because this was going to be my one to watch for this week, and I'm glad that you're pitching in on the segment. It's good to see you. It's good
to see
you
me having
it on it. Yeah.
Yeah, lovely stuff. Go on, what have you got on him?
No, he was 6th at the US Open, and then he got a spot in the Corrales Punta Cana, and then he finished 8th. And then he finished 5th at a sponsor's invite at the Shriners. And then he finished 16th at the Bermuda. he's getting no points for that, no FedEx points. No, well, he's getting them, but he's not. They're not eligible for his thing, are they?
Yeah, well, he would have been 13th in the FedEx rankings if his points were counted since it's the crazy, start of the season.
But
yeah.
If he does win, this year, it all goes on. So if he wins, everything changes.
Everything changes because he then becomes a tour member because of the win.
But there's another way of doing it as well, where if he goes onto the Corn Ferry and wins two more events, then he gets his PGA Tour status that way.
Yeah. The difficulty he's got now because he's doing so well. What is he up to 27th in the world now?
Yeah.
He's doing so well. He's not going to leave a PGA Tour event to try and win a Corn Ferry. So he's never going to go back there, is he?
No, obviously not. But he could even. It's one more year, and he's obviously going to get his status in next year.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that because that category you spoke about, the invitations, normally sponsors' invitations are limited. But he had unlimited invitations, and that's why he could keep going back, building.
Why is that?
Because of the COVID pandemic.
Ah, right, yeah.
Because they changed it to give unlimited sponsors to certain players. So he was one of those players who got that special exemption. But yeah, you talk about the finishes he's had. He also was top 15 at the Arnold Palmer, Genesis, and the Farmers Insurance. Obviously, the reason he got into the Masters was because he got into the top 50 in the world, and what a performance from the kid.
Unbelievable, man. Just see, Butch Armand called him a one iron. He looks like a one iron without a grip.
I've seen that, yeah. Unbelievable. What a man.
I was like, what? Yeah, but you notice, Butch Armand was a touch behind, wasn't he, on the commentary?
That always happens, that.
Well, because they weren't there.
So we got a delay.
So he's in his house watching it on delay a little bit, so then he's talking. And I think he was on the aisle because he just kept battering everyone. He was slagging Doherty off. He was slagging them all off. And I thought it was great. It was the best I've actually heard from him.
Yeah, you normally slag him, don't you?
Yeah, I know. I enjoyed it this week.
It's on the Shoffley.
Oh, mate. Oh, mate.
What an absolute howl he had there.
He fucking ruined it, didn't he?
Yeah.
He just ruined it.
I know. The whole thing. Like, we'll come on to Hideki next because obviously the champ. 16, man.
I know. Well, especially after Matsuyama doing that on 15 as well.
Well, four birdies in a row. He birdies, what, 13, 14, 15 and 12.
What the fuck sort of order have you just done that in?
Started too late. 12, 13, 14, 15.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, put it in the drink from what? What have we got, 150, 140?
I know. What's he doing there? But I think, if you do look, one more, a little yard, and that's close.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I think he's just a bad shot, mate.
Because up that, obviously you go up that shelf and it comes down that way.
Yeah.
But if he's, obviously he's coming off adrenaline off four birds in a row, isn't he? And then he's hit it, and I think one more yard and that's good.
Yeah, one more yard, yeah.
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
But I've never played the course.
You've been though, haven't
you? I have been. I have sat on that hole for a good 7 hours watching people hit balls. But now, I don't know. It just seemed like he just either overcompensated for the adrenaline or caused a touch fat, didn't he?
I know, but even a start, what did he start? Birdie, bogey, double.
Bust.
Birdie, bogey, bloodlust, yeah.
Bloodlust?
I don't know what happened there. Another one. Too many bees.
But as well, right, so Matsuyama shot one over on that Sunday, Annie,
yeah,
to win the Masters, but he really won it on the Saturday, didn't he?
Yeah.
Where he's, what, shot 7 under there, come back in 30.
Yeah.
And he's just...
It's the command and lead, a 4-shot lead going into the final day at the Masters. If you don't make bogeys, you're flying.
Yeah, people got to come and get you, haven't they?
People got to come and get you, yeah. He was helped a lot by Xander starting the way he started. And like we talked about, Zalatoris there kept on his heels, but he was always just that too far ahead, wasn't he?
That's it, yeah. But he's after on that Saturday, there was a rain delay, wasn't there? Like for a little bit.
Yeah.
I thought it was done for the night, so I half went to bed, and that's a catch it on the replay.
Did you?
Yeah. How long was it rain delay for?
Only a couple of hours.
That's what I mean. It's getting on, wasn't it?
They still finished at a good time, though.
Yeah.
I don't know how I survived after the Friday session I had.
Oh, mate.
God knows what happened there. But yeah, so Matsuyama there becomes the 7th low amateur at Augusta to go on to win a green jacket.
Sick.
So, 10 years between him winning the low amateur and then winning the major, 2011, 2021. So others to do that include Tiger, Sergio, Phil and Jack.
Nice. Good elite group again to be joining.
That's it, another elite group, yeah. But It's about time he's done that because he's always been a top quality player, hasn't he? He's just never, he won a WGC, didn't he? But apart from that, always in and about, but never goes on
especially
these type of runs.
How good he is.
Yeah.
Did you see his highlights on the PGA Tour thing today? It was just holding out from everywhere.
Yeah, short game is unbelievable.
I know.
He's got a short game like me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Did you see the way he puts as well with his feet in? Both of them.
Oh, the both of them
and
go
his
in.
Right as well, yeah. Madness.
Talking about putters, Will Zalatoris's putter.
Do you know what? I've ironed one up, you know.
Have you, yeah?
Yeah, but it's like, it's like...
Bit stabby, no?
It's like Bryson, though, isn't it? I mean, the actual putter, not
oh,
the
length
the
of it.
Yeah.
Know,
bit
just,
longer.
Obviously not one to judge someone who's just finished second in the Masters, but I don't know if I'm into that little stabby stroke.
No.
No.
Seems to be fucking rolling them in from or downtown, most holes. Like.
Like I said, who am I to be judging someone who's just come from nowhere to finish in second in the tournament? Yeah,
they're talking about Matsuyama taking the Olympic torch and everything through Tokyo Olympics. And,
oh, he'll be a hero now.
Yeah.
He'll be a hero now.
Before, it's soon, isn't it?
Yeah, it's August.
Yeah.
August, yeah. Yeah, because this is they're all playing for the place in the Olympics now, aren't they, for the golf? Obviously, we spoke a couple of weeks back, DJ's not bothering, but the rest of them will be trying to gain points to get in there.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. And speaking about DJ not bothering, he just stuck that jacket on him, didn't he, and legged it out the shot. He was off. See how awkward he was just sitting there, like, looking and then looking at the translator and then looking, and he was just, boom,
I am gone. I am gone. Yeah. Translator had an hard time, didn't he?
He just made that up.
Awkward watch.
He was making it up, man. Yes, he's very happy, yes. Like, just, he didn't even let Hideki finish.
He's a legend, Hideki. Have you seen the video since where he's just like bouncing through the airport
and know,
just
yeah,
put
bad,
his jacket over the side
over
of
the over the seats?
Yeah, what a guy.
Just getting on. He must be flying first class, surely to God.
I don't know. We've got Ian Poulter putting pictures up of a NetJets private jet with two Mercedes-Benz saying thanks for the time.
And then
you've
got
Hideki,
the champ
just sitting in an airport waiting to get a connection flight back home.
It must be too long to fly private, wasn't it?
Oh, to go back home, yeah, I would say so.
Because remember when Tiger a couple of years ago played in Dubai and he flew commercial for the first time in like 20 odd years or something.
Did he, yeah?
Yeah, because his jet wouldn't be able to get there, so he had to fly on the normal airlines.
Imagine sitting next to Tiger Woods on a flight. Mate.
Be great.
Do an interview with him then, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
ask him a good few questions. Yeah, unbelievable tournament. But yeah, no, I loved every minute of it. Watched all of it, all the coverage. Thought nothing bad to say about it. Just a bit disappointing on the final round with Hideki running away with it. Although his shots into 13 and 15 made you think, Zalatoris was always clipping on the heels, but made a bogey towards the end of his round and just faded off. And then you had Xander on 16 pretty much handing it to him, but like you say, it was probably one on the Saturday.
Oh, definitely it was, yeah.
We spoke about them all now. Rose as well just didn't do enough.
Even
when you look at
crack on, did he?
Even Rose's Saturday afternoon, when you watch that round, it's just he was just so scrappy and it wasn't hitting greens and just chipping and putting well and just making pars. It's not good enough round there,
no,
is it?
No, but you know what's mad, right? You know when you're watching the golf on the live betting, you can actually bet like a hole ahead of the score that they're going to make, and for them to make a bogey, they're like 3 and 4 to 1, you know. I know, it's obviously they don't make bogeys really, but like they do.
You shouldn't have told me that.
Mate, I done about 150 quid in on Sunday night there.
Did
you? Matsuyama's going to bogey you definitely 20 quid on that par. I was like, all I need to do is 3 putt from 6 foot in.
Oh, brilliant. Unbelievable. But march on to the next major now, which is the PGA Championships at Qualhalla.
Kiowa.
No, it begins with a K.
Kiowa Island.
What did I say? Qualhalla, that's
you
a Q.
Said Van Halen,
that's not even a K. Great stuff.
Yeah, well, now that your head's a bit kettled here, let's get you with this quiz while you're like,
right,
you got a clue what's
go.
Going on.
Let's go.
Right, so do you want. Should I just ask the question, or do you want the four answers as well?
Well, obviously want the four answers, like.
Right, okay.
Why was I not want the four answers?
Take the shit bag route then.
Fucking hell. I've been giving you multiple choice for the last few weeks, and you've been hitting me with the fucking hardest history questions in the world.
Yeah, it's all about the Masters, this.
Okay.
Fitting, isn't it?
Very fitting, yeah.
Who had the most birdies for the week? Was it Hideki Matsuyama, Robert McIntyre, Jordan Spieth, or Will Zalatoris?
Jordan Spieth.
Nope.
Who was it?
Bobby Mack.
Did he?
Yeah.
Fair play to the kid.
Innit?
He finished top 12 as well. He'll be back next year, him.
Sick, innit? Like, he done good. Well, didn't he?
Yeah, he done very well, yeah. Held like a 10-footer on 18.
Yeah,
to get into the top 12, yeah, because he went bogey-bogey and then birdied 18 to get in.
Sick, innit?
What a guy.
So, and the hardest hole for the week, was it the 1st, the 5th, the 10th, or the 11th? You're dying. I know what's going through your head here.
Do you know, I'm not going to say the 10th, and do you know why? Because Jordan Spieth birdied it every day.
It's one player.
I know, but I'm going to say the 5th.
Yeah.
Was it the 5th?
Yeah.
It looked tough, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you.
I thought you were going to go with the 10th there.
Well, I was, but then, you know, Jordan must be listening to the pod.
Yeah.
We said it was the hardest hole ever last week, and then he goes and birdies it every day. Yeah. First player to ever do that. Unbelievable stuff, yeah.
Sick. Who hit the most greens for the week? Was it Hideki Matsuyama, Jordan Spieth, Corey Connors, or Will Zalatoris?
Jordan Spieth.
Will Zalatoris.
Fucking hell. Doing well, yeah. The four only... multiple choice. When did you do three?
All right, then.
No, go on, just do four.
Well, I took this quiz off Golf TV, then I just done it 5 minutes ago. So the only player,
all right, reserve.
The only player to break par in all four rounds, was it Brian Harman, Will Zalatoris, Hideki Matsuyama,
Will Zalatoris,
or Jordan Spieth?
Will Zalatoris.
Jordan Spieth.
Fucking hell. Me. Right. Go on, next.
And who had the most...
I'm enjoying these quiz.
Who had the most eagles? Jordan Spieth, John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau, or Hideki Matsuyama?
Bryson DeChambeau.
Hideki Matsuyama. 1 out of 5.
Fucking chin up. Swiftly on to that time again.
That time again. It's that time again, y'all. The birdie bug buzz. Birdie bogey bust. What's your birdie for the week then? You can go first this week.
It's got to be Will Zalatoris, rise to fame, hasn't it?
Is that what yours is? Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
From
it can be, yeah.
From caddying for Happy Gilmore.
Mr. Gilmore, I'm your caddy on his wedges. To see that?
Sick, man, isn't he?
When did he go out and get embraced that done,
it?
Like?
He must have just done the tour van and asked him to put it on. Doesn't take long, does it?
He didn't go down to the fucking shop, did he?
Yeah. 2 years ago, he was world number 1,514th.
Jesus.
And to put that into perspective, Lucas Lippold is the current 1,514th player in the world now.
Right, well, let's see where he is in 2 years then.
Exactly.
Should do him on your one to watch segment.
I don't even know who he is. Now, world number 27.
Sick,
we've spoke about him. Obviously, we don't need to carry on going on about it, but... I just think, what a story. It's just going to be so good if he gets closer to the Ryder Cup,
and then wins, and he gets in. But you know that's going to happen, don't you?
Yeah, 100%.
That's definitely going to
happen. He's there at the RBC this week.
I think he's going to win this week, you know?
Yeah, picked him?
Yeah.
Have you? I knew you would. I haven't. What's your birdie?
My birdie is the first Japanese winner.
Yeah.
Major winner.
Yeah, yeah.
Male.
Fair play.
Because they've had a couple of female ones, haven't they?
The... girl who won the women's amateur at Augusta was Japanese as well. It was an Augusta double.
My God, yeah, I wish they knew that.
Do you want to add that onto your birdie?
Was she Japanese, was she? I read that name, but that didn't seem Japanese to me, no.
Yeah, she was Japanese, yeah. Back-to-back Japanese winners, yeah.
Sick. Decent. Yeah.
No, fair enough. Good birdie.
What's your bogey?
The new world handicap system.
Ah.
Going up from 4.6 to 5.6 in one round of golf. First time I've been off
six. The bogey should be your golf, then, you mean?
Yeah, going up a full shot and one round of golf for the non.
But you can come down a full shot as well if you
watch this space. Watch this space. Mm-hmm. What's your bogey?
My bogey is Xander Schauffele's shot into 16 after having four birdies in a row.
It's my buster.
Oh, honestly. Ah, Keaton calls him the showstopper, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And then he was watching, he had a few bevies, he was calling him the show plopper.
Legend, lad. Yeah, that's my buster.
Is it, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, my buster's the Sky coverage.
Why?
I just didn't like it.
No, I thought it was all right.
Did you?
Yeah.
I just feel like there was things going on and people over putts and then they were just filming like the scenery and different things. I don't know. I just don't think they've had it right for a while, you know.
Yeah, is it their filming though? The Sky's filming. Do they get cameras there, or do they take it off the American?
Well, whatever it is, but it must be the American because there's hardly. I didn't see Tommy. It's hardly the shot.
Yeah, they never. Hole in one. They never.
And
they
like, never it, I just.
It's very Americanized, isn't it?
Yeah, and then unless they catch fire, they don't show them.
Yeah, no, I get it.
What me birdie was going to be, and obviously you can't really give it to him. But did you see Finau shot out the rough, and he hit it out the rough, a little low bullet through the bunker, flicked out the bunker to the top shelf, and then rolled down and went to like 6 inches.
Yeah, unbelievable.
That was going to be me birdie,
and that was his third shot as well. So that was to get up and down for par as well, wasn't
it? That, isn't it?
Unbelievable. Yeah, that was a great shot that nearly went in. But again, with that Xander Schauffele incident, cost him. Obviously, from finishing second to finishing where he finished, was it tied third?
Yeah.
£500,000, that's just over £500,000. Obviously, that's not going to be
on his mind, really.
It will be, but it's not. Obviously, the green jacket's the main thing, innit?
But he keeps getting close again, doesn't he? Then, like, he strikes me as one of the people who come close a few times and then just disappear. Not disappear, obviously, rips it, but doesn't he? But.
Yeah, but but you're right though. He has a good few tournaments, and then you won't see him for 3 or 4 weeks, and then he'll come back, and then he'll have a good tournament. But I'd be interested to see how many he's won. Do we know?
Shoffley.
How many times has he won on tour?
I don't think he's won, has he?
He's won on tour. Yeah. Well, he's won the tour championships, and he's won the FedEx.
He's won that. He's definitely won. Like. I'm thinking of his brother Scotty.
Oh. Right then, so that's the birdie bogey bust for the week.
That's it.
Good birdie, good bogey, good bust.
Well, we were playing with Phil Jevons last week, and I went, I've had a bogey there, and then I've just had a birdie. And then he went, all you need is your bust now, lad.
Legend, isn't he? Ryder Cup time?
Yeah.
1969. Just down the road in
Birkdale.
Yeah. Very interesting one, this. But first one that we've had where there's a bit of beef.
Yeah.
Full of drama.
I know. Well, not only the concession, but there was Eric Brown, the captain, was saying to them, don't go and look for their opponent's balls and stuff.
Yeah.
Mad, isn't it?
And then there was another player, Ken Still, stood next to Maurice Bembridge when he was putting to try and put him off. And on second day, he got so heated, the captains had to come out and calm all the players down.
Like, why is he standing close to him? Like what the fuck? Do something better than that.
Like that fella on Happy Gilmore who follows Happy Rounds.
Yeah, jackass.
Yeah.
Well, obviously the main controversy really was was Sam Snead was the only person who was fuming about it. But
absolutely
the
furious.
The 3-foot putt.
Yeah, concession.
But we've discussed this before, haven't we? Where Jack said that he didn't want the papers getting hold of his friend.
Yeah.
And ripping him.
He come out, didn't he, and said, I don't think you would have missed it, but I wasn't going to give you the chance either.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so... Interestingly, on 17, Jack held a massive eagle putt to square up the match. And like you say, Jack held his par putt on 18 and then just picked his marker up and said that.
Well, and do you know what? As you said last week, though, it's the Ryder Cup's own fault for not including Jack Nicklaus for like 7-8 majors he's got now, hasn't he? And he's only just getting a run out.
This is it, yeah. Well, it just shows how flawed it was. We've spoken week on week about the past Ryder Cups and how well Arnold Palmer's done in them. And then this one. Doesn't qualify.
Stupid, isn't it?
So doesn't play in this one because he's had a bad season. That's why the captain's picks now are so important.
Yeah, they are better because they bring experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, there's only two people who have played the Ryder Cup in the American team before.
Yeah, it's full of rookies, wasn't it?
Gene Lifter and Billy Casper.
Yeah, exactly.
And they played 4 times each and the rest haven't even played before. And they still got a half.
Still got a half, like, yeah. And they might have even won it
if he missed that putt.
If he missed that putt, yeah, exactly. Mm. And then we had 5 rookies on the GB team. Do you know the other rookie for the US team as well?
I did, but my internet's down in my house, so I can't actually look right now.
Lee Trevino.
Trevino, that's
Lee
it,
Trevino, yeah.
Yeah,
first. He had a good running as well, really good record.
Sick, but yeah. When do we win, like?
No idea, you know, it's getting a bit...
When do we win?
It's getting a bit heavy, isn't it?
It's heavy.
Yeah, but 16-16, the concession, they talk about it now, they've gone on and built a course in Florida ever since, and they played...
That, yeah.
Played there a couple of months back, didn't he?
Yeah.
So, definitely one that I would have enjoyed watching when you think about all the drama that was going on with people. And
well, it'd be good if this year, like, say, Tommy was, like, standing too close to DJ and that, wouldn't it? Just to try and get in the red, that'd be boss, wouldn't it? Or dropping the putter and all that. You're like, you don't want to see unsportsmanship of the same, that'd be boss, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be unbelievable, yeah. That's what you do want to see.
Get out there and kick them.
Yeah. Kick his ass, Seabass. No, but yeah, that's just as we always do. Just a little quick one on
thing,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
Little brief 1969 Ryder Cup.
It's getting a bit more like, we can understand. We know a few of the players now, don't we?
Yeah, that's it. As we move on, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
it's
so
good.
Lee Trevino, Jack Nicklaus, and Arnold Palmer. What an American team that is moving forward.
Sick. For the 2 years, you mean?
Like, for the ones coming forward.
Yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
Arnold Palmer didn't make this one, but pretty sure he's going to be making the next few.
I was looking a bit ahead there to try and see when it changes to Britain and Ireland, because it's covered in Irish, like a few Irish players there and that, but that's still
about GB.
4 years now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it was 4 years or four Ryder Cups, so I don't know. we'll find out soon enough.
Tune in next week to find out.
Sure, everyone's dying to know.
But there's plenty of golf to look forward to. Obviously, we've had an amazing week of golf, but it doesn't stop there. We've got events on the European Tour, the LPGA Tour, and the RBC Heritage on the PGA.
I've seen on the European Tour there a few of the boys that we've had on the podcast are playing, and it looks freezing, doesn't it?
Freezing, wet, windy.
Oh, my God.
I don't know whether that's the sign of things, because it's pretty similar in Hawaii for the Lottie Championships and the LPGA Tour as
is
well.
Is it, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I seen Slattery down at Formbior last week playing, and I had a T-shirt on, and he had a full suit on, like a tightless suit with a hat, and he was cold, so I can't imagine, because he just got back from Kenya, so I can't imagine what he's like over in even colder conditions.
Massive change of event, yeah. Interesting you talk about Kenya there. Obviously, a couple of the lads we had on the podcast, Richard Mansell and Ewan Ferguson, a couple of missed cuts out in Kenya, but they didn't play that poorly, really, did they? Just a couple of things. So they're teeing up again on the European Tour. We've got a return to the European Tour for Tom Gandy as well.
Yeah. And Matty Baldwin as well.
Matty Baldwin's there, and obviously you've just mentioned Slattery, but a couple of big names that are returning.
They
as well.
Are big names.
Oh yeah, sorry lads.
They're the boys.
Big names.
Sorry about him, lads, if you're listening. Apologies.
Which they're not. Martin Keimer. That's what I'm talking about. He's back on the European Tour this week.
Big names in world number one.
As in former world number one esque. Yeah, no disrespect to the lads. They are big names.
Yeah.
And then Thomas Detry is returning after his short appearance at the Corrales Punta Cana on the PGA Tour. He shot over there. So be interesting to see how they got on. Funny story about Richard Mansell. He played this tournament last year, and this was the first event post the COVID lockdown.
Oh, yeah.
So a load of flights were getting cancelled, and he drove the whole way.
Sick man, isn't he?
Yeah, unbelievable.
I never loved him, you know.
What?
I never loved him. Sick,
what a legend,
man.
Yeah. And like you've mentioned there, the weather's not going to be the best. Mark Warren, defending champion.
Yeah,
Won that after a 6-year wait on the European Tour.
That what it is, yeah, between victories?
In between victories, yeah. 6 years he had to wait, yeah. So, and because there was no caddies at the Austrian Open, he carried his own bag the whole way around.
All of them did?
Well, I don't know whether they all, I'd assume they did, but Mark Warren did.
Jesus.
Carried his own bag for the all 4 days.
Did he not get a trolley, no?
No, you see him with it on his back.
Do you?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Taking it back to the old school. No, but I'm looking forward to this one, the Austrian Open.
That'd be good, yeah. As with the weather being shite over there, like it's... Like Baldwin, Slattery, like playing around here, the weather's always shite, isn't it? So,
yeah, like, wet, yeah.
Fare well for them.
Definitely, yeah. Well, 13 under was the winning score last year, and even par was good enough to make the cut.
Mm-hmm.
But in them wet, windy, damp conditions, you need to be a good ball striker. I think it's a ball striker's course. 7,458 yards, and there's quite a bit of water there as well.
Girthy one.
Long, very long. It's the longest one this week. It's longer than what's out on the PGA Tour and longer than the LPGA Tour as well.
Well, yeah, it's 1,000 yards longer than the LPGA Tour. I just stumped you there, have I?
Is it?
Yeah.
I've got the LPGA.
Don't tell me I've took the fucking postcode down again.
Fucking hell. To be honest...
What have you got, yardage-wise?
We move on to the Lottie Championship now. I have got...
6,397 yards.
7,002 yards.
What?
But I've just gone off the scorecard. I don't know where you've got yours from. I've gone off the back tees on the scorecard. The
well,
website.
I got mine off the thing, your website.
LPGA Tour?
Yeah.
Go on, we'll go with yours. Then what are you saying it is?
Mine sounds a bit wrong now, I'm saying it out loud. 6,397 yards. That sounds a bit
surely
short, that,
not.
Doesn't it? Honestly?
Yeah.
Like, what has been gone on there?
It's a perfect fact check moment.
Perfect.
Let's fact check that. We'll provide the right information. But yeah, this is the first event of a number of LPGA Tour events that's going to determine who goes to Tokyo for the Olympics and who earns those places on the Solheim Cup as well. This is the where we've obviously had little breaks in between LPGA Tour tournaments.
Yeah, I'm just looking here because I'm trying to find the thing, but I've just, this because this page is already loaded. But the prize money is quite good, isn't it? $2 million
$2 million purse, yeah.
Not bad, is it? No. 300 grand for the winner.
Yeah.
Probably be, I haven't looked at the European Tour purse, have you?
No, I've not looked at it, no.
But I think that'll be more than that, won't it?
Fact check that as well.
Jesus.
Full of facts.
Got checks. Some fact checks here.
Yeah, but just talking a bit about the Olympics team, it's going to consist of the top 60 players in the rankings who'll compete for the gold medal, and you get a total of 2 players out of each country. So again, this week's just going to be as important as the next as they build up to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember, I don't know if this is a normal thing on the LPGA Tour, but remember I was saying about moving it from like Monday to Thursday or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
This is Wednesday to Saturday.
Yeah, they must have heard you.
Must have heard you,
yeah. No, it's good that though, because as I say, on a Saturday you get to see a final day and a tournament win.
Exactly, and you're probably going to watch that over watching
a Saturday build up.
It's a bit more of a climax,
yeah,
isn't it?
Definitely.
And you get to watch it the day before any golf starts.
Yeah.
So that there's no golf on.
Yeah, exactly.
To get in the way, so it's good. Yeah. That you obviously listen to me.
Obviously listen to you. Yeah.
Don't listen to me 6,300 yard shouts. Like listen to the rest of it.
Selective listening, yeah.
That is
definitely.
A pale of a shout out, isn't it?
Yeah, but there was no, this was cancelled last year, this tournament.
So basically that Brooke Henderson's going for the three-peat, isn't she?
Hat-trick, yeah. Yeah, exactly, yeah. She's won in 18-19, going for the hat-trick, yeah.
Sick,
there'll be no fans. No fans.
Is that Hawaii? You've got no thing?
No fans there still, so, but like we mentioned there, all 4 days are going to be televised. And I mentioned there before, this is where it's really going to heat up for the Solheim Cup. So just to give an update on the Solheim Cup, because we talk a lot about the Ryder Cup, and they're both going to be in September this year. So for the United States to qualify, is going to be the top 7 players off the Solheim Cup points list. Then the top 2 players who aren't on that list in the Rolex rankings, so the world rankings, and then Pat Hurst, who's the captain this year, will be allowed 3 captain's picks.
Nice.
And then that slightly changes for the European team. It's the top 2 off the ladies European tour points list qualify. So you've got a lot of the ladies, the top ladies playing on the LPGA tour. So it gives an opportunity for those playing on the LET.
So they get in anyway.
To qualify, yeah. So the top 2 on the ladies European tour points list will qualify. And then as do the next highest 4 on the Rolex rankings. And then Katrina Matthew get 6 captain's picks.
So which system do you like better?
I'd probably the European one.
With the 6 picks.
Just because of 6 picks, yeah. Mm. So what about you?
I don't know. I feel like if you play your golf and you qualify, you deserve your spot.
So the American.
Mm.
Mm.
Being
interesting, yeah, because seven players qualify from the Solheim. Solheim Cup points. Haven't one today, Jesus Christ.
I know.
Yeah, but no. So just thought it'd be interesting to talk Solheim Cup because we do talk Ryder Cup a lot. And as you say, they're both going to be taking part in September. We've got a great month of golf there. There's as much as we talk about that and the point system, how
wait,
it's working.
Wait, was the Solheim Cup before or after the Ryder Cup?
Before it, at the beginning of September. Yeah. Yeah, and then the Ryder Cup's at the end of September. No Charlie Hull or Mel Reid this week, but Georgia Hall is in the field. And there's also a young Scottish lady by the name of Gemma Drybre. She's won twice on the Rose Ladies Series last year, and she's going to be coming on the pod also in the next week or so.
Well, we were meant to have her on this week, weren't we? But the internet's gone down.
Yeah, we've had real bad issues.
Get on the Zoom, so...
Yeah, we had some technical difficulties on Monday, so we've had to delay that one. But
Scottish world number one, or Scottish number one, isn't
highest he? Ranked Scottish player, yeah, highest Sick. Ranked Scottish player. So, one to keep an eye on. Been hearing some really good things about her potential. She's only young as well, so
definitely
keep an eye on her this week and see how she gets on.
1,000,000%. And if she misses the cut, she can dive on the pod, soften the blow.
And then we spoke a couple of times about Rose Zhang. she just missed out on the championship, amateur championship at Augusta.
Oh, yeah.
She made that 8 on the 13th, the par 5, but she's also in the field, the aspiring amateur. She's got an unbelievable college record. She already played in a few majors, and by the looks of things, she's going to be turning professional soon.
Sick.
And just a quick note that the Corder sisters are playing in the field as well, and obviously Nelly looking to crack on with their amazing form.
Yeah, well, I noticed on the odds that Nelly's well higher than that Jessica, isn't she?
Yeah, because of the way she started the season,
well,
isn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's absolutely flying, isn't she? Don't think she's finished outside the top 10. Fact check. But
fact check that along with the fucking 6,000 yard shouts.
Yeah, so that brings us nicely onto the RBC Heritage, another packed field. DJ leading the way.
Well, I've wrote down here DJ withdraw because I just think that he's done it a couple of times now on these, like, not saying like they're not in tournaments, but on these smaller PGA tournaments. I don't know, I think he puts his name down and then just jibs it.
Yeah, puts it down. Well, Bryson's done the same this week, hasn't he? Bryson's withdrew, so, I mean, I'm not sure the reasons as to why, but, no, I think DJ needs this tournament because he only played two rounds, missing the cut last week, so he probably needs, we've got another major coming in a couple of weeks' time, so he's probably going to want to, he's setting his sights on majors now, isn't he? It's obvious.
Yeah, but
so,
I don't know, I proper don't know why that I'm getting that feeling, you know, that he's going to withdraw. I just don't know why.
No, we'll see. We'll just don't pick him in your picks.
No, he's not going to be picks anyway, yeah.
But defending champion Webb Simpson this year.
Well, it's Matty, 22-under, that was the record, wasn't it, last year?
Yeah, that's seen that, yeah.
Big score under par, that, isn't it, 22-under?
I think there was a few, I think he only won by a shot as well to Abraham Anser.
Well, exactly, so that's 22-under, man. You should be storming it, shouldn't you, really?
I had a little look at the course. You can see why people go all around there, because you have 7,121 yards, par 71 as well.
I've got that.
Okay, so
we're
okay there.
We've got that one, yeah.
We're okay with that one there, yeah. Par 71. And then you've on the back nine, you've got a few short par fours. 11, 13 and 16 are all around the 350-yard marker. So for them, it's just iron and a flick.
Well, it's interesting. Mad that Bryson's withdrew in it, because he can probably get there, can't he?
Well, this is it. It would have been interesting to watch him play that tournament, because there's a couple of shorter holes that he could really go for, and the par fives, there's not much to them either, under 600 yards, so get a good tee shot off, you're getting them into, so you can see why people go low around there. A birdie fest as such.
But Harbour Town Golf Links, that's on the Hilton Head Island where I stayed. That remember when?
Here we go again. Well, go on, you take this one away. You know it step by step.
That's it. We didn't actually play there. No.
Did you not? Okay.
No, it was. I don't know why we didn't even think about it. But that's where Ewan Ferguson went to high school.
Yeah.
As well, that same place.
Yeah. So he'll have played this a few times,
yeah,
won't he?
I'd say so. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's Boston. The lighthouse down 18, isn't
sick,
it? The picture's unbelievable, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Last year, the top five, we spoke about Webb Simpson and Abraham Anser there. Daniel Berger, Tyrrell Hatton, Sergio Garcia and Neiman tied five. So them six finishing in the top five.
Good. And they're isn't it?
All playing again this week.
As you would, innit? You get good feelings for things, don't you?
Definitely. But it's interesting what you say about DJ. This is probably a tournament. He's played this five times. He's never finished in the top 15 once. So it's probably one that he wants to get a grip of.
He's definitely withdrawn then, isn't he?
back to its usual spot as the tournament after the Masters, because it changed last year to be in the tournament, the second tournament, I believe, in June, after the COVID break. This is normally the one that's the RBC Heritage is the start of. If you win any tournaments from this one, you get in the Masters the following year.
Yeah. Oh, I see. And then it goes up to
The one before, yeah. So that's your calendar year to get in the Masters, straight up to the Texas Open or the Houston Open, whichever one it normally is. So,
I see, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, they'll all have the sets on a fresh start. I know not everything is wrapped around the Masters. There's more to play for than just the Masters with the Ryder Cup and the FedEx
But sure, a win gets you probably into the PGA Championship as well, a win.
Yeah, it does, yeah. Gets you into all the majors if you win on tour, yeah.
Well,
not so sure about the Open, but I know for the PGA, the US Open and the Masters, if you win.
A win's everything, isn't it, really?
A win is everything, you know what I mean? Well, you get the 3-year exemption on tour.
Exactly, job security and all that.
So, what we mentioned there, Webb Simpson, the last back-to-back winner here was Boo Wheatley back in
07-08. Was it, yeah?
Forgot about him. Remember him? Boo Wheatley, yeah. So that's it, yeah. So we're looking forward to another few call-out holes. It's a lovely track, isn't it? Have you seen much of it?
Yeah, it looks
trees, water, it's everything, yeah. So
it can blow as well.
What?
It can blow there.
Yeah, because it's on the coast, yeah. Well, you'll know, yeah, you've been there, I believe.
Well, yeah, wasn't it? It was roasting when I played the league when I was there.
But it can blow. Yeah, so the par three, we mentioned the par fours in the back nine, but a couple of par threes to look out for on the front, the fourth and the seventh. Very picturesque. They're only around 180 yards, so won't be much club for these fellas.
Seven irons, eight irons.
So scoring clubs again. And it's the 12th hole catches a few out. It's only 400 yards, but it's a big dog leg and it's got a boomerang style green. So if you get your t-shirt off, you're looking at a birdie. But
what does a boomerang style green mean?
So do you know like a boomerang, what a boomerang looks like, where it's like a U shape?
Yeah.
So if you're on one side of the green,
the actual shape of it's like a boomerang.
I
just didn't know what it meant. I thought it was some sort of new type of grass or something.
Oh no, I made that up. I've seen a picture of it and said that looks like a boomerang. So this has come from me.
Oh,
yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah,
brilliant.
It's going to be a birdie fest. Three really good events, and the good thing
Can I just stop you a second? The last time that you said it's going to be a birdie fest, I think it was win and score was level par or something.
This will definitely be a birdie fest.
Yeah.
This will definitely be.
Do you want to go with a bet? Like, and I think I owe you the tenner, don't I? So do you want to go
and
with
and the rest?
One? I think I owe you the rest.
What are we thinking? Why were you thinking 59?
Course record's getting beat.
61's the course record.
Yeah.
So you want to say it will get beat?
Matched.
Matched or beat? Make your mind up.
Both.
So you want matched and.
Yeah, and you have
so 61 or better, yeah. And I'm getting 62 and
over and a double money for the 22 under getting beaten.
Let's fist bump on it, COVID and all that.
Yeah, I still don't understand that because it's still touching, isn't it?
It's crazy, isn't it? Yeah, let's do it.
Lovely.
Yeah,
it's done.
All done, and we've got our picks. I'm still not catching you.
No, but this week we have. A bit of a more special one, wasn't it? Because I don't know if the people who don't follow us on the socials, they'll see that we done a £20 in thing for what do you even call one of them? Competition.
£20 sweep.
Sweep, yeah.
Yeah.
Sweep.
So anyone that entered it, I think we had 15 in total, didn't we? 15 entrants in total. So those are £300 prize funds. First place got 150.
We had 30 odd people say yeah, and then we only had 15 people pass the money over, didn't we?
Yeah. So we had 15 enter, which is a good number. Winner got 150, second place 100, and third place got £50.
Hopefully, people see that, and then they can repost it, and then on their PGA, it'll grow.
We're gonna do it for all the majors, because the point system works perfectly fine, and the more that enter, the bigger the prizes. Obviously, if we get so many, we could do a top 10 of prizes and things like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah, definitely.
No, it was really good. It was. I knew this had happened. The five people tied. With the top point scorer,
and we've
only given three prizes out. So to work out the best two accumulative scores was a nightmare because then some tied them as well.
Oh.
And it went to three, and eventually we got there for a first, second and first. So Jono won. Well done, Jono.
Well done, Jono.
Ian Mack, second, and Gareth.
Golfing Gareth.
Yeah. Coming in third.
When I looked, I thought because he had all four players in the under par. All of his picks were under par at one point. I was what?
Yeah, that's going to storm it, yeah.
Yeah, sick.
It was good that we put out all the selections as well, so people can see it.
You can go and check what everyone else has got.
Nightmare to do. Fuck, we won't be doing that every week, but as a special
for the
we'll be doing it for the majors. And for people who aren't in it at the moment, this is open to everybody. So if you've got man or Kevin's number, drop us a text if you want to get involved for the next tournament.
Or get us on the gram.
Get us on the Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, whatever. We're on all three. At Bogey Boys Pod if you're not already following us.
Yeah, man.
So I had 35 points and I think you had
38.
38, yeah. You got a bit of a bonus for Bryson, yeah. Mm. So I'm quite happy with that. I'm slowly moving away from the relegation battle, but I'm still quite a bit behind you.
Definitely.
So what's your picks this week, brother?
Well, I'm going to go for the one iron without a grip, aren't I? Can I go one better than his major second place there? Will Zalatoris.
Billy. I call him Billy, yeah.
Billy Zala. Who's yours?
I've gone for Daniel Berger.
Ah.
Yeah, he tied 30 last year. Since he played this event last June, he's had six top tens, including that victory at the AT&T. Pebble Beach Burger, and
that was Patrick wanted that, wasn't it?
It was a first, yeah. And then, even though he missed the cut last week at the Masters, he did finish tied ninth at the Players, so there is a bit of form there.
No, definitely. And he sneaks about, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. So Daniel Berger's my pick this week. What about pot two?
Michael Tomlinson.
Snapperoony.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've gone for him too, yeah.
No way.
Justin Parsons.
Yeah, that's the reason why, yeah.
That's same, yeah. Coached by Justin Parsons out of Hilton Head Island.
I don't know why, but I just feel like our pot three is going to be the same again, you know?
No, because my pot three is close to home.
Oh, is it?
Varner. Is yours?
Mine's Vajegas.
No, Doc Redman.
Yeah, I was going to pick him.
Oh, was you?
Yeah, I was going to pick him, yeah.
The reason I've picked Doc, I haven't seen much of him since he became my driver on the Perfect Golfer segment we've done in the first few episodes. And I'm selecting him just purely out of his ability to drive on a shorter course.
Right, nice.
You've gone for Vajegas?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, man. Camilo Vajegas. But I thought, because I'd seen you picked him a few weeks ago, and I thought if you might have had him, but obviously not.
No, not for me. And you better not have been a traitor.
I've traitored him.
Oh, my God.
I have.
You're a scumbag. Yeah, come on. Who have you gone for?
Bo Hostler.
You've traded him for Bo Hostler?
Yeah.
Hudson Swafford I've gone for. Yeah. I'll always back Hud. Well, even if it costs me points.
It does.
It never costs you points in pot four, does it? You don't lose nothing.
No.
So.
That's good. Looking forward to it.
I am, yeah. No,
I'm
good.
Looking forward to it.
Really, really enjoyed last week's golf. Didn't enjoy the hangover on the Saturday the same way you probably didn't appreciate your hangover on the Monday.
No. It's put me off.
Drinking?
Yeah.
Well, with a 1% recovery on your whoop, I'm not surprised.
1%? Like, why has the rest of me 99% of me functionality gone, like?
What are you today?
85.
There you go. Back up there.
I'm getting back.
Back up there. No, but as always, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. I hope everybody enjoys the golf. You've got the European Tour, the Austrian Open, the Lottie Championships on the LPGA Tour, and the RBC Heritage on the PGA Tour. Plenty nice. Of golf to look forward to.
That is it.
Don't forget to get your picks in on the Order of Merit before first tee time on Thursday.
Well, I was trying to get our listeners up, and Nicola's friend, who's called Lottie, she's into golf.
Okay.
So I was like, tell Lottie that's the Lottie Championships this week, and if she wants to shout out on the pod, listen and she'll get a shout out. So there it is.
Take that download, yeah. Subscribe and leave a rating, please. And as always, we've still got the codes if anyone wants to take advantage of any discounts we've got. The Golfers CBD.
A couple of people have come up to me on 4NBO with the Golfers CBD stuff.
Well, do you know a story on this? Do you know Jono, who won the Order of Merit?
Yeah.
He's been playing well this season, right? Started the season off 6, and he bought one of the vapes he smokes, so he bought the vape.
Yeah.
And he said he used it for the first time last week, and he won his tournament.
No way.
And he's come down to 4. True story.
Sick.
We can ask him if you don't believe us, but that is a true story.
I had some jellies and a little go with a vape on the way round, and he reckons that it helped him stay calm and stay in the moment.
Yeah, stay focused, so. Yeah. So, if you want to take advantage of some discounts on that, you go over to their website and check out Bogey Boys 15. You'll get 15% off all products on the website.
Yeah, man.
And the Arcos deal is still on if you
want
to buy some of artificial intelligence technology to help improve your game. Go over there, Bogey Boys 10, and get 10% off your first order.
That's it. Doesn't half help you with the cold, doesn't it? Because the temperature adds like 4 or 5 yards.
Yeah, you can
mad
tell, yeah.
It's half a club, isn't it?
It's just the knowledge as well, in knowing that when you don't use it in tournaments, if you feel that weather and those conditions, the climate, you know to add 4 yards on.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm.
It's crazy.
Interesting, but no, really enjoyed having the chat. Masters is over for another 12 months, but another major is round the corner and plenty more golf to look forward to. So until next time, it's always a pleasure to speak to you, Kevin, and we'll catch you next week.
Ciao.
Ladies and gentlemen, oh boy, is he out of sync.